Chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. God laid this sermon on my heart this past week, and we got to come to Recharge Wednesday night, and we were over in Genesis that reaffirmed everything that was there. So we'd like to share with you a while on the title, The Lord Will Provide. God is good
all the time.
All the time. Amen. This scripture's a little longer. I was sharing it with Sheila, and she said she might just sit down. So if you sit down during it, I will understand. Beginning there in chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place where God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to the servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham." "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on that boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord Will Provide." And to this day it said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear to myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and you not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of all the cities of their enemies. And through your offsprings, all nations on earth will be blessed because you obeyed me." This time we'd like to go to God in prayer. And Tim, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord will provide. And I don't know about you all, but that makes me just want to say amen to that, right? The Lord will provide. As Christians, we have a lot of church words, don't we? This past year, I had a couple of folks, you know, when we get ready to have Advent season, I guess we just think everybody knows what that is. I had a couple of folks come up to me and ask me what Advent season was all about. We had Ash Wednesday service, and as a preacher, I stand and I announce that, and I say that we're going to have Ash Wednesday service, and I think to a lot of everybody should just know what that is. But for a lot of folks, they had no idea what Ash Wednesday service, and I got to explain what that is. As Christians, we hear a lot of these words, Christian words. Joy, you ever said that word in your Christian walk? Peace, that's a wonderful Christian word, isn't it? Another big Christian word is love, to love one another and have that love that Christ has for us to be able to give it to others. Well, all of those words are wonderful and they're all great. But without one other word that we sung about this morning, BJ always does a great job of picking a song that goes along with our sermon today. One other big word that we as Christians know that make all of these other words possible is that word faith. That big word called faith. Faith should be a part of our everyday life, shouldn't it? Having faith in Christ and believing in Christ and knowing beyond any shadow of a doubt that Christ is there with us. Our faith, without having faith in Christ, our Christian walk is not where it should be, is it? And not having that faith and understanding God's will. But there's also another word that's not a Christian word, but a word that happens in our Christian walk. That big word of doubt. Have you ever had doubts in your life before? I guess I'm the only one. I've had a lot of doubts in my life before, and we stay there and we wonder about those things, and the devil loves putting that doubt in your life, doesn't he? Because when you are doubting, what's happening to you? You're not having the faith that you should have. We've all been on each side of that spectrum in our lives, haven't we? We've all spent time on our faith side, and we've also all spent time on our doubt side. If we're honest, we spend a lot of time in our life working on our faith and understanding what our faith should be like. Today, we're going to look at a man, even though he had his faults, and even though he had his shortcomings, he had great faith in God. I've already given away who that man is. You know, it's at the beginning of his life, he was called who? Abram. And then God blessed him and he became Abraham and made that covenant with him. Abraham, I thought this was interesting when I saw this past week. Aside from Moses, no Old Testament character is mentioned more in the New Testament than Abraham. How important that was. James refers to Abraham as God's friend. His story of Abraham has those faults, but it also has great faith. So let's look real quickly this morning how Abraham's faith and what he had to have faith in. And then we're also going to look this morning as how we can take that faith into our lives and allow Christ to help us to become the Christian we should be. First of all, he had to have faith to go where God wanted him to go. Abraham's story really turns there in Genesis chapter 12. In the first three verses it says, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and to your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. God makes this promise, this covenant to Abraham and says, if you will go where I am instructing you to go, that I am going to bless you and your life will be changed. Not only will your life be changed because of the faith you have in me, but also your family will change. And God made three promises to Abraham. The promise of land of his own, the promise made in a great nation, and the promise of a blessing. Many of you today, if you think about Abraham and this, he had everything he needed already. He had his family, he had his possessions, he had everything that he owned. Probably most of the people he had ever known was right there with him. And now God is saying to Abram, quickly becoming Abraham, God is saying to him, I need you to leave all of that. And I need you to leave all of those things. And I need you to come and follow me. You notice some things there that Abraham didn't have much doubt, did he? I'm sure there was probably a thought going through his mind of what God is actually doing to him. But you notice Abraham doesn't say in the scripture, where am I going? How am I going to get there? What is going to be there when I arrive? How am I going to get my family there? How am I going to know anybody? How am I going to provide for everyone when I get there? Abraham did not allow that doubt to come into his life. How many of us would leave everything behind and just step out on a leap of faith and say that we are going to follow God? I believe we all can say that Abraham had great faith there, didn't he? Great faith that if God said it, he needed to do it. And he had great faith in knowing that the covenant that God had made with him was not only going to be good for him, but it was going to be good for his family and for the many others to come. Abraham had to have that faith in God. There in Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, we see because of that covenant that God made to Abraham. He went from Abram now to Abraham, serving God and doing God's will. Next, and have faith that God will answer his prayers. Another example of Abraham's life of faith is seen in the birth of his son Isaac. Abraham and Sarah, as we've studied many times, were childless, which at that time was people looked down their nose at all the folks that was unable to have a child. And Abraham had prayed and asked to God and asked God to help him for that deliverance to take place over in Genesis chapter 15. Having a child, I know this, I know Beth and her family is going through this, having a child takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? And knowing how the faith that you have that God is going to be able to deliver you. But Abraham now was praying and asking God to give him what he needed. And all of these years his wife had been barren and not been able to bring a child into the world. And all that weight that must have been upon their shoulders because of this. But Abraham had faith that God would show him a way. Sheila and I had been married. When you first got married, did you have a master plan of where you thought you were going to be? Nobody did? Well, we did. We sort of thought about we're going to be married for a little while and we're going to be able to see some things, do some things, go some places we want to go and all these type of things. And we decided that we would wait about 5 years after being married and we would have a baby. One of the things that I've always figured out is God doesn't always go by our plans, right? The rest of you ever figured that out? God doesn't do that. God has a plan for you, and that plan is what he wants you to follow. So at year 5, we were like, okay, she'll become pregnant. We'll have a baby. It'll be here by year 6. We'll be right on our plan and go. But God says, just wait a minute, Paul Mills. We're not going to do that right now. And for 3 years, we went through that weight on our shoulder, unable to have a child, unable to have all of those things. And I would pray to God, and I would talk to God, and ask God to bless us, and God to bring a child in the world. Of course, Sheila being the great preacher's wife that she was and still is, she said, honey, let's just have faith, and let's just pray, and God will find a way. Well, you know what? That's great, but the old devil starts throwing that other big D word, doesn't he? That doubt word into your life. And I'm sure Abraham had heard a whole lot about this doubt word. I was trying to remember the name of the doctor when I was selling cars. And he came into the car dealership over at Goodman's and he bought a car for me. And he was a baby doctor, Dr. Gibson, I do believe, was his name, Dr. Gibson. And he'd bought many cars from me. And he came in and he saw that I had a little worry on my face. And he says, what's wrong, Paul? And I said, well, doctor, we've been trying forever to have a baby and just nothing's working. I'm afraid we're going to have something else to be done and so on and so forth. And he looked at me and he says, what do you sleep on at home? I first thought, well, it really isn't your business what I sleep on at home, right? He said, what do you sleep on at home? I said, well, we sleep on a waterbed. He said, well, go home get you a knife, take that water bed out of your house, and I guarantee you in a couple of months you're going to have a baby. Well, I went home. I told Sheila about our water bed situation. We didn't have any money to go buy another bed. We found something to buy, and in 2 months, guess what? The baby was going to be on the way in 9 months. Took 9 years for our 5-year plan to work out, but you still got to have faith in God, right? And that's what God said to Abraham over in Genesis 15:4. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but your son, who is your own flesh and blood, will be your heir. His faith was rewarded there in Genesis 21 with the birth of his son Isaac. And the next one, that Abraham's faith, no matter what, he had to realize that God had a plan. Abraham's faith was tested in telling him that he was going to have to find his own home. His faith was tested in having a baby and bringing that baby into the world. And next, his faith was tested when it was put forth by his son Isaac. In the scripture that I read to you this morning, can you imagine what was going through Abraham's mind? Here's God that he had faith in. Here's God that gave him a son, blessed him and his wife with a son, and now God is telling him to do what? Offer him as a sacrifice. Can you imagine what was going on in Abraham's mind? The questions that must have been there. The questions. How many of us, if God came to you today and said, I want you to take your son or your daughter and I want you to give them as a sacrifice. And not only that do I want you to give them as a sacrifice, I want you to prepare everything for that sacrifice. And I want you to do exactly what I tell you to do. I'm going to tell you something today, and maybe none of the rest of you will agree with me on this, but Abraham had a whole lot more faith than I would. Amen? To listen to God and say to God, God, I'm willing to do what you're asking me to do. For some reason, this had never popped in my mind before, but when you read the scripture, it took them how many days to get there? 3 days. For 3 days, Abraham was traveling with his son and his servants, knowing that he was taking his son to be a sacrifice that was going to be given to God, and it wasn't going to be his death by anybody else's hands. It was going to have to be by the hands of who? The hands of Abraham, this son's father. Can you imagine that? Now, I don't know about you, but I looked at Abraham, and as he got there, you would think that word doubt would come into your mind already, wouldn't you? Because not only did God tell him to go, God let it go to the point where Abraham even had to prepare the altar, even had to prepare his son to be the sacrifice. Praise be to God today that Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son. God saw fit to bring another sacrifice that was there. But the moral and the point of the story is this. Abraham had enough faith in God to what? To do it. He had enough faith in God to believe that God would find a way. Now, you could say, well, preacher, Abraham had a lot of faults and he had a lot of failures. Well, yes, he did. We know that he laid with another woman, Hagar, and they brought a son to the world, Ishmael, because Abraham's wife thought that they would never be able to have a child. We know that. We know that he had all kinds of difficulties in his life, but his faith was still there, and God still blessed him. I believe we all can agree today that Abraham had a lot of faith and trust in God. Even though there were doubts, his faith was able to overcome those doubts. But how does that play out for us? How does that make our life any difference? It's great to know today that Abraham had a lot of faith. Amen? Guess who else needs a whole lot of faith? You and me. We need to be able to have that faith and trust in our lives. So, do we have faith to go where God wants us to go? I still believe today that God wants to use all of us, doesn't He? The only problem we have is we seemingly like our plan a whole lot better than we like God's plan. And we put more faith and more trust in our own plans than God's plans. What is your plan for the future? What is your plan for the future? My plan has sort of changed over the last few years. I'm just happy to get up every day. Amen? That's a great future, isn't it? I don't know what God's future is for me. I don't know how long that's going to be, whether you don't know either. But I have faith and trust in God that He knows where I need to be, doesn't He? Sometimes we don't have to go anywhere. God has us exactly where He wants us to be. But maybe God's plan for you in the future is a new job. I remember changing jobs. That's a scary thing, isn't it? Maybe it's God's plan in the future is for you to be called in the ministry to preach. Maybe God's plan in the future is to be called for you to take leadership inside of the church. Maybe God's plan in the future is for you to do something in His will. But what is so blessing about this is this. If God wants you to do it, have faith and trust in knowing He's going to give you what you need. Abraham wondered, God, do I need to go there? Do I need to leave everything behind? Do I need to go and talk and share there? Why can't I just stay here? Sheila and I have done it all. I've told people, and I'll tell you all this too. I'm not moving anymore. Any of the rest of you like that? I am where I'm going to be. If you want to come and see me, you come to Reese Hurt Road because I'm not moving anywhere else. And it's going to be another big surprise to you too. I'm not going to preach anywhere else. I'm going to preach at Bethlehem for the rest of my time because I know that's what God's plan. Now, if God comes to me in a month or two from now and said, preacher, you need to go somewhere else, I'll sure will listen to Him. But right now, my faith and my trust is in God and knowing where I need to be. Where is your faith and trust? What is God's plan for you in the future? Whatever it may be, make sure it evolves and plans around God. Nextly, do you have faith that God will answer your prayers just like Abraham? Do you pray just to pray? Or do you have faith that God will answer your prayers? Let's say that again. Do you pray just to pray because that's what the preacher tells you to do? Or your mom and dad tells you you need to pray? Or you heard that being a Christian, you need to pray? When you pray, do you pray just to say words? Or do you have faith that God will provide? Remember, it was God that answers your prayers, not you. The other night, when the storms were coming through, I'd say the prayer meter went up a whole lot around here, didn't it? People praying, God help us through the storm. God take care of us. Bring us through. And you wasn't just praying words that was written down somewhere. Well, you were praying from the heart, weren't you? And you were praying and you were saying, God take care of me and have faith that we will be all right. And praise be to God, God heard and answered that prayer. But our prayer today needs to be just like that prayer the other night, doesn't it? Earnest. And praying to God for His deliverance. Do you pray with doubt? or do you pray with faith? When you pray and you say to God, God, this is what I need your help with. One of the things I believe should put a smile on your face is when you pray, God hears you, doesn't He? You know what else? This has always been amazing to me. God knows my voice. He knows your voice. He knows everything about you. And when you pray, I heard somebody say, well, preacher, if He knows everything about me, why do I have to pray? Why do I have to ask Him for things? Why doesn't He just go ahead and do it? When you pray, it's you having a talk with your Heavenly Father. And it's your time to be with Him and express with Him how much you love Him and how much you care for Him. So when you pray, have faith in God that He will give you what you need. And lastly this morning, do we have faith in God that no matter what, God has a plan like Abraham? Now, I've never, thank God, had to sacrifice anybody in my family to show my faith. Praise be to God, somebody died up on an old wicked cross for that, didn't they? So I don't have to do that. I've never had that much of a faith test in my life. But I believe all of us have faced things in our life that we have no idea how we are going to get to the other side. Ever been there? Christians, if you're walking and you're breathing and you're going in your life, I heard this morning a song on the radio over at home this morning. It talked about every step I take it with faith. Ooh, that's good, isn't it? Every step I take it with faith. In our life, we all know we have no idea what we're going to face, do we? Do you think everything's all right now? Wait a little while. It's like the weather in Kentucky, isn't it? Just wait a little while. Something is there. But we have to have faith in our life that God will bring us through. Abraham had great faith. He was willing to go the extra mile. He was willing to give his son as a sacrifice to show to God how faithful he was to Him. As Christians today, when something is impossible, God turns it on to the possible. When something is impossible, God turns it on the possible. Today, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what's going on in your life. To be truthfully honest, the only person that I truly know what's going on in their life is myself. You know what's going on in your life. You know what hesitations you have. You know what doubts you have in your life today. Remember that Christian word. We talked about some of them, right? Love and joy and peace. Those type of words that we use. The word that ties it all together is that big word called faith. Today, do you need more of it? Are you like Abraham? Do you have that faith and trust in God? Or maybe today's the day that you need to pray and say, God, take away that doubt from me today. Help me realize that all things are possible with You. Help me to have faith and help me to have trust in my life and say to God, God, give me that deliverance. God, give me that hope. Maybe today's the day that you turn your heart and life over to Jesus Christ. I believe when you come down and you pray and you start talking to God or wherever you're praying and asking God into your life, that is a great leap of faith, isn't it? That somebody can take away your sin and not only take away your sin now, but for the remainder of your life, that you know now you have faith in the hereafter and you have faith in knowing heaven is your home. If that's what you need to pray about today, we'd love to do it. Many of us would love to pray with you and help you to be able to get there. Whatever that doubt may be in your life today, Leave it here. Leave it here. And leave with this place with that big word called faith. We invite you to come. We'll have our closing song, John Larkin.